Good morning, everybody. You know, out there in the secular business world, marketing companies and companies who are in the business, if you want to call it, of looking for unique locations and sites for either as shopping centers or restaurants or anything that has to do with traffic, one of their key themes that comes into their mind that they're trained, especially from the commercial real estate world, is location, location, and location. And some of us have probably heard this. This is a common phrase that they use. And another common phrase that I think from the spiritual world that I think God is trying to tell us, especially through our readings today, as we really take a note to listen to them, His key word for us today as we listen to those readings is compassion, compassion, and compassion. And it is so clear how God so miraculously uses His divine purpose, His divine providence, His divine compassion to get our attention and to be able to use that not only in the time when He was active in His own ministry, but especially in our world today. So let us take a couple minutes and let's take a look at these readings and see how God's compassion comes so clear through the Holy Scriptures that we heard. We take that first reading today from the book of Kings. It's kind of interesting because a couple months ago we heard the first part, some of the verses prior to this same passage that we heard today, where there was a woman there in that passage then a couple months ago with her son, that they were living through a famine. And all of a sudden, Elijah comes up to him, or up to the woman and the son, and he's asking for some bread. And she says, well, you know, I've only got a little flour and a little oil and water myself. And Elijah said, well, trust in the Lord. And if you would be so kind to give me some, God will take care of you. And she did. And she gave it to him. And of course, she had plenty of bread and oil that lasted until the famine stopped. She never went hungry with her son. But then, of course, as the story picks up today, this is the same woman, and here's Elijah, and all of a sudden her son, who, and she's a widow, keep that in mind, her only son is losing his breath and he's dying. And he took his last breath and he did die. And the woman now she's all saddened, and she's even upset because she thinks that this is a punishment for her because of the way she lived her life. And she starts to talk to Elijah about this, and he is moved with compassion. And he's also, I think, and it's kind of a learning tool for Elijah, he's also there to learn he's got to trust in God. Now, what is he going to do? So he takes the little boy, and he takes the little boy up to the supper room. And he prays and he talks to God, and he actually talks to God, and he says this three times. He says, Lord, breathe life into this son. Breathe life into this little boy, he says three times. And all of a sudden, this little boy comes to life. And Elijah takes the boy down to his mother, and she's just overjoyed. And she says, you certainly are offering the word of God and what you have just done for my son. And she was so gracious. And what a beautiful story, in a sense, on how God intervened just at the right time. Everything just orchestrated out, that whole divine providence came through, and that whole divine compassion came out through God. And then take our second reading today from Paul. This is an interesting story from Paul, because in the very beginning of our second reading today, as Paul is talking to the Galatians, he's talking about that his transformation, all of his wisdom, all of his holiness that now he is enjoying in his relationship with Christ did not come from any human. Now, it's kind of interesting here, just to step back. You got to keep in mind, you know, at this time, Paul did not have the opportunity to read the New Testament that we take for granted. As a matter of fact, most of the books of the New Testament weren't even written then. In fact, you could take it a step further. While Paul is talking about this to the Galatians and talking about his letters, he's writing the New Testament. It's his words, because God has implanted these words through his love and his compassion into the heart and soul of this man who had wanted nothing to do with Christianity. In fact, if we listen to that reading today. I mean, he hated the church. He did everything he could do to get rid of the church. In fact, if Paul was to come into a church like that today and say, look, don't listen to the Pope, and you know, Jesus Christ, he's not who you think he is, and your pastor, don't believe a word he's saying, how would we react to something like that? Well, the fact of the matter is, that's what Paul did. He tried to take the church down. He tried to destroy it. But God knew, God could see there was hope, and that there was a real sense of love deep-rooted in the life of Paul. And Christ transformed Paul, so eventually he had the compassion within him so that he could take that word of God out there and spread the good news. And how many readings in the course of the year do we listen to the letters of Paul, or the reading of the letter of Paul to the Galatians, or to whomever you want to talk about, because there's always there. And then we've got this beautiful story from Luke today. Okay, here we've got Jesus, who at the time is in a town called Capernaum. It's up on the north end of the Sea of Galilee. And as we hear in the story, he's going to move from Capernaum to a town called Nain. Now that's about 20 to 25 miles. That's a full day's walk to get from Capernaum to Nain. But he's going to walk there again with his disciples and this crowd. And of course, it's kind of interesting because if we take a look at that, you take a look at the whole region of Galilee, okay? Galilee is probably 25 to 30 miles in width, maybe 50 miles high, and within that whole region, there's about 204 towns and villages. And in the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he's weaving in and out of these towns, and as he's going, there are more people that are beginning to follow Jesus and get attached. And we're looking at his healings, or listening to his spreading of the good news. They're just falling in love with the fact that he's talking about the kingdom of God, and they can't get enough. We probably would feel the same way if we were at that time of the year with him. But anyway, the crowd is growing, so he's going to take this whole crowd and move to Nain. Now, again, Jesus, with his divine providence and his divine purpose in life, and thinking about the compassion, he knows exactly what's going to happen when he gets to Nain. And we heard that in the gospel today. He gets to Nain with this large group of people that's following him, and just as he's about to walk through the gate, there is a funeral procession going on. And here is the son of a widow who's just passed away. Okay? Now, if we go back to some of the studies, it's been reported that this young man who died is probably of the age of around 25 to 40. They're really not sure, but somewhere in that range. And of course, her husband's already dead. Who knows, maybe they're in some type of a farming business, but he was her life. He kept her going. And all of a sudden, there's this funeral going on where this person has died. And we hear in our gospel today that he was in this procession and the bearers were carrying this coffin. Well, back then in Jewish history, it wasn't necessarily a coffin the way we look at it. It was called a bier, and this is not the bier that we drink, okay? This is like a stretcher. It's like wicker basket. And the way they would carry these people out is they would have this Jewish procession. The bearers would carry this bier up high, and they would wrap the body in a white cloth, but the head would be exposed, okay? And if you died during the course of the day, back then in Jewish history, they buried you that day. They would never bury you the next day. They buried you that same day. So we knew that he passed away probably sometime while Jesus was in procession to Nain. So here Jesus walks into this whole situation, and what are the first words that Jesus says to this widow? Do not weep. Now just think about that. That's the first words out of his mouth. Do not weep. And then he walks up to the casket, up to the bier, up to the stretcher, and he touches it. And that was a misnomer as well, too. That was something you didn't do. But Jesus did that as a sign of compassion, and also as a sign that, you know, that we are sinful people and he's going to take away our sins. Of course, they don't know this. So then what does he say to this dead man who's on the stretcher? He says, man, arise. Now, I would like you to just think about something. either you're asleep or you're dead, you're on a stretcher, you don't know what's going on. And all of a sudden, somebody walks up to this casket, and this person arrives. If you're that person and you sit up, can you just imagine what you must have been thinking? Looking around at all the crowd and everything going on, that it must have been an amazing experience for that man to automatically just sit up and look around and say, what's happening here? But yet at the same time, that's exactly what the followers were thinking too. My gosh, this man just came to life. And all of a sudden, people are excited about that. Some of them are in fear, as we heard today in our gospel today. But a lot of them were praising God because here's a God of compassion. He's brought new life. He's brought this person back to life. And they were so grateful. So here we have three different examples of compassion back in that era. I'd like to share with you a story about compassion that our family just recently experienced as well. And how God's providence, how God's divine compassion it came, and we felt this. Back on April 4th of this year, my brother-in-law Brad, he was going to the bathroom in the evening, and he fell. And his wife Kathy, who happens to be my wife's older sister, she walked up to Brad and she tried to awaken him, and he was kind of mumbling some things, and she knew something was wrong. So she called 911 and they sent him to St. Joseph's Hospital. They ran some x-rays and they said, we got to get you down the freighter. So they sent him down the freighter, and by the early morning it was discovered that Brad had stage 4 lung cancer. He had cancer in his lymph nodes, and they found 4 large stage 4 brain tumors in his brain. And they had a chance to talk about this, and over the course of the next couple of weeks that went by, it was determined, Brad, you probably got anywhere between a month to maybe a year to live. And of course, in the meantime, we're all getting together as family, we're giving support, we're trying to show our sense of compassion to one another and also to Kathy and all this. But as Brad's life was deteriorating and then he fell again, it was clear that they were going to put him in the Kathy Hospice House here in West Bend, in which they did. And they put him in there on a Monday night, and then Tuesday we had a chance to visit him a little bit. We took the Holy Eucharist to him. And by some time between Wednesday and Thursday, Brad became non-conscious. Okay? Now what's interesting about this too is Kathy was telling us, I never thought that I was going to be celebrating my 50th wedding anniversary while my husband is in the Kathy Hospice House. So Saturday, April 30th comes along, which was their 50th wedding anniversary. Brad is lying there unconscious, and Kathy has invited the family members to be with her today. She wants to celebrate this day in the best way she can. She got a pair of champagne glasses when they first got married, and she brought these champagne glasses there. She was not going to let that stop her. She says, we're going to have a toast. We're going to celebrate the God's life. I'm going to celebrate to my husband. And we're going to do this. And about 11 o'clock that morning at Kathy Hospice, Kathy comes up to me and she says, Michael, what time do you think we should have this toast? And I said to Kathy, I says, what time did you get married? She says, Michael, my father walked me down the aisle at St. Leo's in Milwaukee at 12 noon. I says, well, then, Kathy, that's when we'll have this toast. You do it. So she gets out her bottles of champagne. She puts some in her glass. She has another glass there for Brad. We all have cups of champagne. And then Kathy, at that very moment, takes a little syringe because Brad's laying unconscious there in bed. She takes this syringe and she takes it out of his glass. And she takes this champagne and she puts it underneath Brad's tongue. And then the most beautiful sign of compassion took place that only God could possibly do. Brad, in his unconscious state, started to sit up. He opened up his eyes and he looked at Kathy. And he took his two arms and he reached out to her. And he started to utter some words. I will tell you something right now. That is something that I will never, never forget. It just goes to show us that God works his sign of love and compassion in our everyday lives. And what God asks us to do is to be open to it, to acknowledge his presence, to be willing to accept him, even in times of trial and despair, even at times when God's about to call somebody back to himself, such as he did with Brad, because Brad died on May 4th, exactly 30 days from the time that he was diagnosed with this. He barely made it a month. But he gave Kathy about 5 to 7 seconds of that joy, of that opportunity to celebrate and thank God for those 50 years, just by the fact that God rose him up. And he had a chance to open his eyes and reach out to his wife. And that's the beauty of our God. And that's the message I'd like to leave all of us with today. Because we are going to have challenges. We are going to have heartaches. But God is compassionate. And he's there to give us that strength. He's there to give us that hope. He's there to give us that guidance. In fact, we all fit in to his divine promises, his divine providence of this world, his divine compassion. We're there. And he wants us to recognize that, and he wants us to share that compassion with one another in our daily lives. And that's our challenge for this week. Can we take that compassion that God gives us, and can we give it away as a sign of our love and appreciation, not only for our God, but for all of God's children? For that's who we are. And we say this all through Christ our Lord. Amen.